with rapture sings it o'er and o'er. O bound to souls by storm and tempest driven, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.
Where sin abounded,
some soul repeats it o'er and o'er. Though vile as I could be, in love he rescued me. Where sin abounded, grace abounded more. Oh, blessed thought, that I, though so needed help and strength may still implore, in that blessed name, the name of Christ my Savior, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.
Where sin abounded,
some soul repeats it o'er and o'er. Though vile as I could be, in love he rescued me. Where sin abounded, grace abounded divine, beyond all human measure. Thou crownest me with blessings for and o'er. Yea, thou hast freely opened thy rich treasure, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. Some soul repeats it o'er and o'er. Though vile as I could be, in love he rescued me. Where sin abounded, grace abounded more.
Luke chapter 22, betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, This is my body, which is for you, or is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner, also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, prove himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh judgment unto himself, if he discern not the body. For this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep. But if we discerned ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait one for another. If any man is hungry, let him eat at home, that your coming together be not unto judgment, and the rest will I set in order, whensoever I come. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the way that you describe your salvation as being so great and as telling us its ramifications, all things that pertain to life and godliness, and that your Son not only has redeemed us, but having redeemed us, desires us to be instructed in all things that you have commanded. We are thankful, our Father, that we are in school for the rest of our lives upon earth, waiting for the coming of thy Son. Let us know, Father, that in the world we are aware of our financial progress, our social progress. Thou wouldst have us to be aware of our spiritual progress as well. Dost thou not tell Timothy to give himself wholly to the things of God, that his progress, that is going forward, may be manifest unto all men, and that is our desire concerning ourselves, Father, that we might make progress in the things of God. And so this morning, we pray that you shall impart understanding to us in this distinctive of the church, and by thy Spirit illumine, empower, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised, as we turn all over into thy hands, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I learned the distinctives of the assemblies in a perfectly natural way, and it was this way some 50 years ago. I had been genuinely saved out in San Pedro, California, and when I came back, there was a man who had witnessed to me named Reginald Edwards, but this was the father, not the son. And I was in a grocery store, and God brought us together. And I spoke to him but a few minutes and told him that I trusted Christ as Savior. The reason I told him is that I had remembered 5 or 10 years before that the man had witnessed to me about the Lord Jesus. And it meant nothing to me. But when I trusted Christ as Savior, then I said, the man in the grocery store years ago was telling me about the Savior whom I have now trusted. And so when I met him in the store, I conveyed to him in a few words that I trusted Christ as Savior. And he said, Milton, you are saved. I said, yes. And he said, well, I would like so much if you would come to me and go and attend a service where I go at the Gospel Chapel in Raleigh at the corner of Eastern Franklin. And so I told him yes. And when we went in, it wasn't like this. As I recall, they had seats that you could move around. And they were in a circle or semicircle. And in the midst, there was a table. And it had things there, but they were covered. I was not able to see what they were. And so we went up, and as we went up, I recall that we sat on the side at the left. And perhaps it was 5 minutes or so before the meeting started. And so I turned to him, I said, when is the meeting going to start? He said, soon, soon. And I said, well, who is going to start the meeting? He said, I don't know. And I said, well, what is the order of this service? He said, there is no order to this service. And I started asking more questions. He said, just wait and see. And so as I sat there for the first time in my life, I was at the meeting of the church. Let me tell you something funny. It's called the morning meeting. But that is tradition. Nowhere in the Bible is it called the morning meeting. But for years, the only thing I knew, it was called the morning meeting. Why? It was the first meeting in the morning. That was a tradition. But as we sat there, one brother rose and gave out a hymn, and perhaps another, and then one brother would pray, and another, and one would read the scripture and give an exposition of it, and this went on from about 9:30 till about 10:15, and then our brother rose and gave thanks for the loaf, and then it was passed, and another brother rose and gave thanks for the cup, one cup and one loaf, and it was passed. And afterwards, then, if there were time left, our brother would give perhaps a scripture of a short exhortation, or the announcements would be read, and then we would be dismissed with prayer. And this was a distinctive meeting because I'd never found anything like it in my whole life. I'd been to communion services before, but when I went, I recall they had cut up all the bread into little pieces, and they had cups the way we do today, individual cups. But there was the loaf on the table, and there was the cup on the table for this reason. Only a few, then. You might ask yourself this question. If there were 3,000 to 5,000 in Jerusalem, could they all drink from one cup? You would say, no. Then probably they broke up into little groups. And that was one of the arguments in years past for not having big meetings. If a meeting gets so large that all are not able to take communion from one cup, then the meeting is too large. Because you see, at the first Lord's Supper, there were only 12 with our Lord, and all could partake of one cup. And so this is where I learned about the meeting of the church. I say the meeting because at that time it was the meeting. They called it the morning meeting. They gave it the preeminent place because, according to what we are taught in the Word of God, it is the preeminent meeting of the church. This is what it says in Acts 2:42. When the gospel was preached by Peter on the day of Pentecost, some readily received his word and were baptized, and it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. And so here are four meetings. The apostles' doctrine, that would be a ministry meeting. The fellowship, that is the communion of the saints. Our communion is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The breaking of bread, that is just what we did about an hour ago. And then prayers. That's what we do on Wednesday night. But you must understand that at the first, it was not put in specific departments, but they would come together and they would have a meal in addition to the Lord's Supper. And by the way, when you're reading it, and you read about they broke bread and then they ate, they are two distinct things. The breaking of the bread is one thing. The eating of the meal is another thing. Just, I mentioned some of these because there was so much involved in the meeting of the church. But all of these elements were provided. I shan't tell you about all that takes place as it was spoken of in 1 Corinthians 14. What is it then, brethren? When you come together, each one hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, you see. But I shan't tell you about that now. But here is a meeting, and it's called the breaking of bread. So if you call the service we had at 9:30 the breaking of bread, that is scriptural. If you call it the Lord's Supper, that is scriptural. If you call it the remembrance meeting that is scriptural. If you call it the breaking of bread meeting, that is scriptural. If you call it the morning meeting, that is tradition. But if you've heard of it spoken of as the Eucharist, that's quite in order, because in 1 Corinthians 10, when it speaks about the cup of blessing which we bless, this is the transliteration, the Eucharist, the giving thanks, the blessing of the cup. So it has various names, but it is designated, and you are able to distinguish it by the words, the breaking of the bread. I can show you 5 specific instances where the breaking of bread can be nothing else but the Lord's Supper. That is in Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, 1 Corinthians 10, and 1 Corinthians 11. All of these references have the Lord Jesus breaking the bread at the Lord's Supper. And I take it as well that in Acts 2, 42 and 46, and in chapter 20, verses 7 and 11, these also refer to the breaking of bread, not just eating ordinary meals. I can't go into that now. And so we have at least 5, probably 9, but then there are no less than 7 other references where the breaking of bread does not refer to the Lord's Supper. Because when the Savior saw the 5,000 and they were hungry, how many loaves do you have? 5 and a few small fishes. And so they take the loaves and bring them to the Savior, and the Savior breaks them. But that's not the breaking of the bread meeting. That's just breaking bread. And in Luke 24, when our Savior was going home with Cleopas and his companion, and the Savior broke bread, that was just at a meal. And so that is why some, when they see breaking of bread, they say, well, that's just a meal. Well, that's quite true in 7 instances. But I know in 5 and probably 9, the breaking of the bread is the Lord's Supper. Because when it says in 1 Corinthians 11, the Lord Jesus took bread and broke it and said, this is my body which is given for you. What does that have to be? You say that breaking of the bread is the Lord's Supper. Yes, that is the Lord's Supper. And in the 5 references I gave you, and in the 4, also they probably refer to the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. Now, I want you to understand this because some have been confused and will be very helpful. In John chapter 6, if you read that, it is not the Lord's Supper. It is a figure of the salvation of sinners. Why? Because in John 6, you have those without eternal life. And the Lord Jesus said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. The Lord Jesus says, he that believeth on me hath eternal life. So there, the eating his flesh is an acceptance by faith of the incarnation of Christ. It says in John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Lord Jesus said, when you eat it, like taste and see that the Lord is good. When you eat it by faith, you appropriate the truth of the incarnation. And then when you drink his blood, you appropriate his death on the cross for sinners. And so when you believe, because it says the same, please, in verses 40, 47, and 54, you have the same thing in John 6, but one of them is figuratively spoken, and the other one is literal. He that believeth on me hath eternal life. Well, explain that to me. To believe on me is to eat my flesh and drink my blood. It is by faith to accept the incarnation and the death on the cross for you as a sinner by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is John 6. It is something that is done once for all. You never do it again. But having experienced John 6, then you come to 1 Corinthians 11 and you never cease to do it until the day that you die. Because it says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do proclaim, that's the literal word, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come. And here is another tradition. How many times in years have I heard, and I thought it was scripture, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. And I've looked, and you'll never find show forth the Lord's death. That was the way we expressed it. But it literally is, we declare the Lord's death till he come. So what does this mean? It means that having by faith partaken of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven to give his life for the world, having partaken of him by faith, then, historically, and at a specific time, we come and remember him by breaking the bread. We break the bread not to get life, but because we have life. This do in remembrance of me. It is something he did. But the reason that we have admission to the Lord's table is because we have been born again. We have experienced John 6 by faith, and therefore we practice 1 Corinthians 11 until he comes. Now, let me tell you something, because I am able to say with Psalm 34 these words. David said, I have been young and now am old. You see, I'm 70 years old. And so I can look at all of you and say, I've been young and now I am old. I'm definitely among, euphemistically spoken of, as senior citizens. But this is what is so glorious. I've been saved for over 50 years. And to my knowledge, in all those 50 years, I have never missed the Lord's Supper. That's its importance to me. Never in 50 years. I recall once or twice, perhaps something on my heart was wrong, and I let the elements go by. But I have been there at the Lord's Supper. And I thank God to tell you about this, and I'm just telling you to encourage you, to show you my attitude toward it, and I want to show you the attitude of others as well from the Word of God. It was this. 10 more years ago, I was invited to go and stay with friends in England. But before I went, I sent ahead and found out whether there was an assembly there and whether each Lord's Day morning I would be permitted to come and break bread. And if not, I would not have gone. And 3 years ago, I thank God for this, I was sick, and I thought I might have to have an operation. And I said to myself, well, if I'm in Durham, perhaps they can bring the elements over to me after they get through breaking bread at the meeting. I had everything covered. I never intended to not remember the Lord. Why? Because there are those who have a good attitude and those who have an unworthy attitude concerning the Lord's Supper. I told you it was the meeting of the church. Now, the same thing has happened, and in the will of God, perhaps I will tell you a little bit about the Passover tonight, because it says in 1 Corinthians 5, Christ, our Passover, hath been sacrificed for us. This morning, it's the Lord's Supper. However, concerning this Lord's Supper, when we do come together to remember our Savior, it is not the same as it was when they first remembered the Lord. Let me tell you this about the Passover and the Lord's Supper. They never are the same. Exodus 12 can never be repeated. And Luke 22 can never be repeated. Why? Because the Lord Jesus was the one there who gave thanks for the cup as well as the loaf and passed them out. You say, that can never happen again. Of course not. And in like manner, the Passover, they escaped literally from Egypt. That can never happen again. But one thing that we can do is to have a proper attitude concerning these meetings and their importance to the Lord, because the attitude concerning the Lord's table in Malachi is the same, and they spoke outwardly there about the attitude of some concerning the Lord's Supper today. Listen to these words. God is talking to them. And concerning the priests, the ones that presided over this form of worship at that time, God says, what do you think about the Lord's table? They said, it is contemptible. And they said, what a weariness it is. And when its name was mentioned, they would go, they snuffed at it. These are the priests that are supposed to be maintaining this worship. It was so important to God that God said, every morning you shall offer that lamb. That was the theme of the remembrance meeting this morning. A lamb a year old with the meal offering and with the drink offering. Every morning you offer it and every evening you offer it. And all of that that was going on, as well as the gifts that were to come, the priest said, what a weariness it is. The table of the Lord is contemptible. Can you imagine such a thing coming from the lips of those that belong to God? And in like manner, if I searched out your hearts and found out your true estimate of the Lord's Supper today by your behavior and by the place you give it in your life, I wonder if those words our soul loathes this meeting. It's wearisome. It is contemptible. Why? Because of our attitude toward it. And that's the way they felt in the book of Malachi towards their form of worship at that time. And there are some today who are trying to dislocate the Lord's Supper, and they've been successful because at one time it was the morning meeting because they thought that being first, that was its primary place. It was put before all things other as being inferior. It was the Lord's Supper, the morning meeting. But now, this is what they found. That there is not an appreciation of the Lord's Supper today. And because of that, let's not take up all this time when nobody is coming. That is a waste of time. Let us relegate it to the evening because few people come out then and it will make no difference, you see. And others have done it this way. They say, let's just do this. Let's just have other meetings and then at the very end, tack it on and give it about 5 minutes. And others would be quite willing to do what God said in Malachi. He said when he saw the contempt and the attitude of his priests toward his services, he said, oh, that one among you would shut the doors. Why? Because he said, it is an abomination to me. He said, it's not a sweet savor. It's a dead ritual that you're going through. Oh, that one would shut the doors. And if that suggestion were made, oh, that someone would take away this Lord's Supper, this breaking of bread, someone would lay hold on that and say, yes, I think that's a very good idea. We can do away with it because it is a meeting that I get nothing out of at all. You understand? Is this not strange? Do you not see that the lamb in the morning and in the evening was not for them? It was for God. Can you not understand that of all the meetings, and let's think, apostles' doctrine, that's God through his ministers giving you teaching. You say yes. The prayer meeting, that is God through the prayers of his saints giving you the things that you need. You say, yes. And the fellowship of the saints, that is you enjoying me and it is my enjoying you, that's something for ourselves. And so now God says, give something to me. And you say, that's too much. That is too much. And that is why if some do read about the Lord's Supper and they see it, they say, well, if we do have it, let's have it like the Passover, once a year. Or some say, no, that doesn't seem quite enough. Let's have it every quarter or some once a month. But you will find from the book of the Acts that at first interpreting, as often as you do this, they interpreted it every day. They broke bread, it says, in their homes, if you look at it more exactly. They broke bread in their homes every day. And then, later, when that wasn't convenient, in Acts chapter 20 and 7, on the first day of the week, they gathered together to break bread. Perhaps I'll tell you about these divisions later on. So to them, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, well, how often may you do it? You may do it every day if you wish. Or you may do it every week if you wish. But no one is able to tell me that as often as you eat this bread means once a year and once a quarter. That's not often. I asked a man who had requested of me, he was the pastor of a denomination, he asked me to teach him, and he said, now, this Lord's Supper, he said, how often do you think we should observe it? I said, the first day of every week. Now, I think that has been figured out. That is convenient today. He said, it doesn't say that. I said, no. He said, it says, as often. Why do you interpret it that way? I said, well, now, how often do you think people should come to church to hear you preach? He said, oh, every week. I said, oh. I said, every week? What about once a quarter? Oh, no. And then he caught on that he was caught in a trap. He said, I understand. He said, remembrance of the Lord should be as often as the preaching of the Word of God and as praying to our Father who is in heaven. I said, yes. And whether or not the meeting is a weariness to you, whether it's contemptible, is your attitude toward the Lord's Supper. That will determine it. Because if you come asking, what am I going to get here? This is why I laugh at people that are supposed to be spiritual giants. They turn out to be spiritual pygmies when you bring them to the Lord's Supper. Why? Because they know absolutely nothing about intimate communion with God, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Oh, they can get up and preach you a sermon. They can act and present themselves. Bring them in the presence of God where they have to offer something from their heart. It says we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And they're miserable because they have nothing to give. If they can up in the presence of others display their gift, that is fine. And so the reason they get nothing out of the Lord's Supper is that they have nothing to offer at the Lord's Supper. And they're uncomfortable because they have never understood what Psalm 72 and 73 are about. 73 says this, Asaph was crushed with his inability to understand all the troubles in his life and in the world. He said, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary God, he said, then I understood. And this reverence and the preeminent place of the Lord's Supper is something that only is yours that you learn in the sanctuary of God and in the presence of God. And once you learn about it, then as this poor soul learned, you never miss it. Why? Because this morning you have invited me to speak. Then the meeting, as God enables, is no better than the man you brought to speak to you, you see. And then if you have musical are numbers. The music is no better than the ones you have. And so what we do is to get those that can sing well and we hope preach well, and that way we know we're going to get something. But the remembrance meeting is no better than the aggregate of all who come. And that is why you get nothing out of it, because you are part of that and you have nothing to give. I want you to understand that in the Old Testament, God said, all the males shall appear before me 3 times a year, and they shall not appear before me empty. He said, you do not come before me waiting to get something. He said, you come before me and you bring me something. And so, of course, you get nothing at the Lord's Supper. Because God said, you come to the Lord's Supper to give me something. Nothing for me, nothing for you, other than something like this. When our Savior was dining with Lazarus and Mary and Martha, she came and the alabaster box of ointment was broken and our Savior was anointed. And John said, and the odor of the ointment filled the house. That ointment was not for them. The ointment was for the Savior. But since they were there, the benefit of it came to them as well. All praise and worship were lavished upon the Savior, but being there, they benefited by it because the fragrance came to them as well. And so in like manner, when we come and a brother stands to his feet and worships God in an acceptable way, worships in spirit and in truth, I tell you, there's nothing more thrilling. I can think back years past where I would be in the presence of older men of God who knew how to worship God in spirit and in truth. And your soul was thrilled at the remembrance meeting. There was nothing like it. And all other meetings were letdowns because the people that were preaching were usually local men and usually not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. Not many local men are exceptional, but some of them that might not be able to preach were able to praise God, and your heart was lifted up to heaven. And that is why you are to come. But understand this. You say, well, tell me this. Just why, when you read the portions that you did, do you think it's so important to come? Because the Lord Jesus commanded you to come. That is why. He said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. You proclaim it. But he said, when he took the elements, he said, this do in remembrance of me. He didn't say, now, if you please, or if you get around to it, he said, this do in remembrance of me. And that is enough. Let me tell you this. David's mighty men are found in Samuel and in Chronicles. And one day when David was in the cave of Adullam, something slipped out of his mind. He thought back to the city where he was brought up, Bethlehem. And he said, oh, that I had water to drink from the well that is by the gate at Bethlehem. And three of his mighty men heard that desire proceed from his lips. And it said that they went and fought the whole army of the Philistines. They went through and destroyed them, and they got water from that well. And they brought it back and said, David, our captain, here is what you requested. I shan't go into the details about that. But the faintest desire of the captain that was their leader was enough to cause them to risk their life. And the Lord Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. He bore your sins in his own body on the tree. And he said, now that I've given my body for you, I've given my blood for you, I want you to do this. I want you to remember me. Let your attitude be that of the Savior toward the Passover. With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And that our desire to be to commune and enjoy our Savior who is in our midst when we break the bread and drink the cup. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that in the midst of giving us so much, he who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We are thankful that you've given us an opportunity to give something back to you. And if there is any attitude that is unworthy our God, if ever there is a thought of weariness, and if we say concerning him, as they said concerning that light bread, our soul loathes this light bread, our God show us the serious spiritual condition of our soul and restore our souls. And let us understand what is important to you, and let that be enough to make it important to us. Thy Son broke bread and blessed the cup. May we do it as well and be found doing it when he comes. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.